Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Punch. Ich habe kurz vergessen, wie der Podcast heißt. Die heutige Folge wird, das werde ich gleich auch nochmal auf Englisch sagen, wird so ein bisschen auf Englisch und Deutsch durchmischt sein. Wir werden über Eifersucht sprechen. Ehrlich gesagt möchte ich jetzt schon weglaufen, aber vielleicht stelle ich einfach nur Fragen und halte mich aus der Diskussion raus. Aber ich glaube, alle kennen, oder nicht alle, also ich kenne tatsächlich auch viele Leute, die mit Eifersucht überhaupt gar nichts zu tun haben. Das ist für mich immer äußerst suspekt. Ich verstehe das nicht.
Ich glaube es nicht.
Genau. Aber genau, wir reden über Eifersucht, aber nicht nur über Eifersucht, sondern woher Eifersucht kommt, was für ein Gefühl das ist und was das mit Selbstwertgefühl zu tun hat. Okay, I'm going to switch to English quickly. So, welcome to Punch Up. This is the first time we're going to record in English, so this is also a little bit weird for me. So, I'm sitting here with my two guests that I'm going to introduce later. We're going to talk about jealousy and specifically about not only jealousy as a feeling, but where it comes from. How does it feel? Why do people feel jealous? Why do we feel jealous? And what does this have to do with this feeling of self-worth? First of all, I'm going to introduce my two dear friends that agreed to talk about this deeply personal, exposing and difficult topic, which I really appreciate. So to my right is Sophia. Sophia is a longtime friend of mine. It's been like, I don't know, more than 10 years or something. Probably, yeah. You can talk, it's okay. You don't have to. Longer than 10 years, yes. Sophia is a writer, an activist, a parent, an educator, and a Libra. And across from me is Nai, who's also a longtime friend, also more than long.
10 years.
Yeah, than 10 years also. Who is a music curator and a music nerd at the same time, who is since a while also a passionate vegan cook and a longtime activist from New York Times to Berlin. So first of all, thank you very much for agreeing to talking about this.
Thank you for having
me.
Yes, you're very welcome. I would like to point out that I'm having this conversation with a Libra and a Capricorn and an Aries myself. So this is going to be very interesting. And my cat Baran is also going to be in the background. So she'll probably meow every now and then. So I think I'm just going to Aries style jump into the conversation. Because before we started recording, we already started talking about these things a little bit. And like we talked about, you know, what are the things that we've done. And I think actually the reason why I picked these two people is because with Sophia, for example, we're talking about jealousy a lot.
Yes.
And I think we're like on a similar level of crazy and on a similar level, or I don't know. Yeah. You know, I think we like we calm each other down and, you know, we understand each other that way. And I think Nai is more of like a healed version of us. I think Nai is like a recovered, I don't know, jealous person, maybe. I don't know. But I feel like I feel like you have a more, not necessarily mature, but a different approach and maybe different tools that you're working with. And I'm very curious to hear them. Okay. First of all, I would like to know before I start with my questions, would you today say you are a jealous person?
No.
Bullshit. You would say no.
I'm in a jealous phase.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, what would you say?
I don't ever think, I mean, I don't know. I think like you said, you're in a jealous phase. I feel like it's not something that ever goes away, but I mean, sometimes you deal with it differently than others.
For sure.
Other times.
Yeah.
I like to also own my jealousy.
Yeah.
I'm like, there is some good stuff in jealousy.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll discuss that. I think I would say, I would definitely say I'm a recovering drama queen. I would definitely say that that jealousy is always going to be a part of me. But I think that my way of dealing with it has changed a lot. Mm. And I think reflecting it has also changed a lot. Yeah, for sure. So my first question is, this is actually technically the second question now. When did you feel jealousy for the first time, no matter the context? What is your earliest memory of jealousy?
Hmm.
Whoever wants to go first, go first.
Hmm.
Can be childhood.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, I guess I was jealous of my little sister because she was younger and, you know, the baby and got more attention when we were small.
So annoying.
Are we all the eldest?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, well, my God.
No. I'm not. I have an older sibling.
Yeah.
And there are two younger ones. So I'm one of the oldest. Yeah.
Yeah, my older sibling is 12 years older, so it's a huge age gap. Yeah. It's a bit different.
Totally.
Me and my younger sister, like a 3-year difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you would say with your sister?
I would say with my sister, probably.
Do you remember the scene?
Of the first jealous moment? I don't. I can't say I do. But I remember those feelings.
Yeah. Was it like an ongoing thing through your childhood?
Or? I mean, it wasn't like a serious thing. It was more of a sometimes thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I was jealous when my, you know, feelings were founded, you know.
Does she know about this? Have you talked about it?
Yeah, I guess we talk. We talk about our childhood and jealousy and, you know, I was kind of the controlling one. You know, we were going to play this game and this is what we're doing. Go get me that. And
you took away my parent from me. You will get the toy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For me, it's also my sibling, my sister, the next one that came. Yeah. I remember my mum was changing her nappy, so she must have been a very small baby.
Mm.
And I literally was just going crazy. I was just like, you know, all this kind of changing nappy intimacy thing, the cream. And then I remember going to my bedroom next door. I must have been like 4.
Yeah.
And just crying. Mm-hmm. And I was like feelings of disgust. And my feet were doing this, and pushing my feet together. And I was getting really just like, I think now I can identify it as feeling, no!
Yeah.
What are you two doing?
Yeah.
What about me?
Yeah.
Jealousy, one could call it, yeah. So definitely that. And it created a bit of a distance, and I just thought, okay.
Have you ever talked about it? Is that like a thing? Was it a thing?
I don't remember if I've talked about it with my sister. No, I don't remember.
No. Interesting.
No.
For me, it was not with... I have siblings also, but it was not about my siblings. I remember one situation really clearly that was about my mom and my dad. I have a complicated relationship with both of them, but I never really liked my dad, I think, in some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that my mom took me to bed. I was quite young, and then, I don't know if this is exactly my memory, but my mom told me the story, and I kind of remember it, them sitting in the other room, and I would scream from my bedroom and say, "Are you sitting next to him or not?" And then my mom would say, no, I'm not, but they would, you know? But I didn't want them to sit next to each other. I was super jealous of whatever was happening between them.
Yeah.
And I remember, I don't know if I really remember this or if this is just a story that my mom told me, but it would make total sense. And also when I look at my patterns today, it makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
You know, I thought, what are you two doing there? Don't do it. I don't like this. Go away. I really didn't want him to touch my mom. And I think now that I think back about it, I think it was more because I felt like he was not a safe person.
Mm.
So I didn't want her to be anywhere near him. But whatever, I think as a child, that was totally jealousy for me.
I think that's a really interesting point also, connecting safeness with jealousy.
Yeah.
I like a bit of jealousy sometimes. It makes me feel a bit safe,
you
know, because there's something in there that the person is looking out for you. They're thinking about where you're at. They are expressing belonging through it, and they're saying what's good for you, quasi.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think
to an extent.
Yeah, to an extent, yeah, maybe. I think I have more fear when someone expresses jealousy.
Mm.
I mean, it's not the kind of fear that would make me just like run away.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, I think it's a trigger.
When someone else basically.
Yeah, okay. I think it's a trigger. I'm like, is this person going to try to control my life now?
Right.
But then like try to bring it back to the present. Like, hey.
Yes.
But it's hard.
Yes.
Do you think it's hard because it's a mirror? Or is it like because you know what jealousy feels like? And there are different levels of jealousy, right? And there's different ways of dealing with it and handling it. Is that... Because also, I'm also the same when I'm confronted with someone who's jealous. I'm like, actually, it's kind of hot a little bit. Yeah. It's like, I feel wanted. But then I'm like, no, wait a minute. You know how this works.
Yeah.
So I wonder.
I mean, I don't... I think it's really just a trigger. Mm. Because there are moments... I don't know if I feel... Like, I don't know if I feel like it's sexy.
Mm-mm.
I think it's triggered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But I also try my hardest. Mm-hmm. I try my best not to project past traumas onto current situations. Also, so like an ongoing working process.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Meine Therapeutin würde sagen, das situativ zu sehen.
Yeah.
Situativ zu sehen. It is possible that people become extremely controlling with the jealousy.
Yeah.
And if that's been the experience, then it's insecurity, jealousy, comes the anger. I mean, I remember also being in situations where because of insecurity and jealousy, you're not, you know, you're just being controlled the entire time.
Yeah, totally.
The entire time, yeah. And every situation is a kind of a risk of, oh gosh, that person's looked at me. They didn't see it, you know.
Yeah, because you want to make your person feel safe as well.
Yes.
And I think that's,
But that's jealousy combined with codependency.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Like, let's talk about codependency. But I think all of these topics are totally related, like codependency, dating narcissists in my case, and then being a jealous person, dating jealous people. I was in a relationship once where we like fucking limited each other to the fucking core just because we're both so insecure, both so jealous, and it was like years of a fucking nightmare, you know? But like both equally, and I think when I think about this now and this, the level of stress and the level of everything is like, I still get like, oh my God, I never want to live like that ever again.
Did you feel a feeling of safety in it? Like, I'm doing this for you, you're doing this for me. I know that you want to know where I am, so I'm going to tell you now six times a day.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Was there an agreement between the both of you?
I think I didn't feel safe, but I think I didn't know it any other way. That's like we basically relived my parents' relationship or the kind of relationships that I knew from home.
Yeah.
It was based on control. It was based on no trust. It was based on I'm allowed to invade your privacy because you have no privacy. So for me, it was like, of course I'm going to tell you exactly where I am. And like now, if we were dating, because then that didn't exist, I would give her my like life standort.
Yeah.
You know, you can know exactly where I am. That's how I thought a relationship. At the same time, that, for example, didn't interest me at all. I didn't care where she was. I didn't care what she was doing, but I cared about who she was talking to, if she was talking to the exes. Like, I was really horrible with that kind of stuff. Like, in that relationship, I can say this person suffered a lot from my jealousy, but I think we both equally fucked each other up also in some way.
Yeah.
Which is taking me to the next question. We've talked about this a little bit before. What is the worst thing you have done when jealous, you would say, that you would also want to expose yourself in a podcast with? So I understand if you want to water it down or, you know, for criminal charges, I don't know what exactly you did. Because I have some horror stories. Now quiet. Is it Libra or the Capricorn?
I hesitate to answer.
Okay.
Because I feel like, first of all, the worst thing means it has to be OTT over the top. And
it doesn't have to be.
I feel like when you've had certain experiences in life that have made, that have broken trust. Then it is completely normal to ask a few extra questions.
You mean a few questions or interrogations? That's the difference.
Well, I think it's important to know the fine line. And I think sometimes I ask myself, okay, I see I have these questions in my mind. Do you really want to ask them? What will asking them do? Will it feel like an interrogation? Am I going to be breathing air, breathing oxygen onto the fire of insecurity by doing that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely asking questions
yeah.
has been one of the things I've seen. But that's not my worst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the thing about asking questions to, like, breathe on the fire of insecurity. We like that, don't we?
It happens.
The worst thing I ever did, I told you before,
yeah.
it's like the absolute worst thing I ever did was go into my ex's Facebook.
Yeah.
We were living together at the time, and I opened her computer.
Yeah.
And she was already signed in and went and blocked the person that I had an inkling she was cheating on me with.
Entangling
on me with.
Is this the word? Entangled.
That yeah, entangled.
Will Smith
yeah.
and Jada Pinkett Smith used.
Yeah.
Entangled.
Yeah,
entangled.
Yeah.
We got it. Oh, yes. Yeah. That must have been the podcast my sister sent to me when I was expressing certain emotions to her.
Yes. Yeah, that's the worst thing I've ever done. I've grown a lot since then. That's it's been a really long time. But, unfortunately, my inklings were real, founded.
See?
Does that make it bad then? Does that make
yes.
it bad?
Yes.
Does that make it still bad
yes.
to do?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you think if you had asked the person straight away, do you think, or straight up, do you think this person would have answered honestly?
I mean, the thing is she didn't answer honestly.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, but I just had a feeling that, you know, I just like had a feeling that it wasn't honest and
that you need to invade their privacy to get your answers.
To be fair or unfair or whatever, like this, she'd given me like, you know, reasons in the past not to trust her.
Yeah.
So it was, everything was, and that was also quite fresh. Mm. So, it kind of drove me mad, you know?
Yes.
And then I did that. So.
Yeah,
but I understand your objection, you know, is like, is that really only jealousy? Because I think it is not only jealousy. Like, jealousy is the feeling that you already have anyway, right? And then it has something to do with healthy relationships, unhealthy relationships, dynamics and trust and all of these things, you know, that come together. And then you have this. I think a lot of people do what you did, you know, a lot of people don't talk about it, but I think this happens quite a lot. I think it's like not one of the worst things on the planet that you can do.
Yes. Anyway. I think jealousy has a bad reputation. Because so often in talking about jealousy, what is done with the jealousy is conflated with the jealousy itself. I mean, we've got whole books about it. We've got a whole theatre piece about it. We've got a whole, like, romantic all sorts about it, because it's often about what gets done with it, that's what's overstepping lines. And I feel like jealousy in itself, because of what we do with the jealousy and because it has a bad reputation, sometimes we forget to spend time with, what is this jealousy telling me? What else is my need? What is my fear? What is my insecurity? Where does it come from? What is my trigger? And it's something that could deal with healing, that could need healing. What one does with it, I don't know. One situation that I was in, they had definitely had a vibey time.
A vibey time.
I do not know exactly what happened, but I was very jealous and very insecure afterwards. And I literally got her number of this other person from their phone.
Yeah.
And I rang them up.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what did you do? Why? This is disrespectful. Are we in an open relationship? No. So how dare you even overstep that line with my person? Yeah. You know, I actually spoke with them for 1 hour.
I wish you could see Sophia's face.
In a kebab shop.
Wow.
I was not planning on doing this, but because we were talking about...
So you met up?
No, no, I was okay. on the telephone. I just randomly decided to ring them.
Okay.
But had you talked to your partner at that time before you talked to this person?
Yeah, we were in conversation in that moment. And right. then I was in my, right, give me the phone. Give me your phone. Give me your phone. I am ringing them now.
Yeah.
And then I did it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And afterwards, I felt good because they were like, I'm so sorry and apologize. Yeah. And I was just like, this is not okay. Do not do this. Mm. Like, you are stepping on my feet knowingly. Mm. And I had that same vibe, obviously, with the person that I was with. So, yeah. I do look back now and think, that was very OTT.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would not do that now.
Yeah.
No. I don't think I would do that now. I would deal with it completely differently.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I did feel, though, that this person had a responsibility towards me. Yeah. And this is why I will ring them up now and tell them that.
Mm.
Because you know me. Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Totally. That actually makes me... I'm wondering, because I had actually a similar situation. I've done something kind of similar. Where I actually invited the person, my person at the time, was seeing... I invited this person out for a drink. And with the intentions of, like, talking to them, you know, not, like, having a drink.
Yeah.
Just having a drink. And so, and I just, I asked them, I begged them to stop seeing my person.
Yes.
I told them that it was destroying me.
Oh, yes.
To see my person probably falling in love with them.
Oh.
And I, like, couldn't take it. And, yeah, it was, it was, yeah. It's like, that was... That was pretty, it was painful. I remember those feelings. I was extremely jealous. I was extremely insecure.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Jealousy is a pain. I see it.
Yeah.
Jealousy is a pain. It is a wound.
Yeah.
Of course.
And some of them, I feel, can be understood.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the person who is receiving the jealousy now also can say, okay, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not, you know, we haven't overstepped a line in expressing our jealousy or what we did with our jealousy. But
I think it's about taking responsibility also for, I mean, I think what I've learned, I'm also going to share what I did, but I think what I've learned is that it's not about, it's about having the compassion for yourself to understand that jealousy is a feeling like any other feeling also, and has, is a valid feeling also, because there's a reason why it exists, right? There's a reason that is connected to your story, that is connected to your self-worth, that is connected to the world. There is that, that is also connected to the world that we live in the bodies that we live in. Me growing up in Germany, you growing up in the UK, and you growing up in the US, where our bodies are not seen as desirable or as important or as worth being loved in our families or in the society. I think all of these things are also very important to keep in mind. And also realizing that it's a feeling like everything else also, and then taking the responsibility to say, okay, this is part of my history and I'm not going to dump my unfiltered feelings on you. And I'm going to try to work through it, and then you get a filtered version of what is going on inside of me. Like also me, I mean, your stories sound, you know, when people hear them, like, I often have, like, people in my ear saying, oh my God, how can you do that? And oh my God, that is, like, so abusive and so toxic. I'm like, fuck yeah, we all are. We all are. Sorry.
Yeah.
It, maybe you're not jealous, but you're fucked up in another way. Yeah. Maybe you're controlling. Maybe you're this and that. Like, we all are humans. We all do these things. Like, I have controlled people. I mean, controlled in the sense of, I went through exes a long time ago, phones, emails, felt insecure, you know, have asked questions that resembled an interrogation, I think. I was just really insecure in my body. And also, I think being a trans person has an effect on all of this. When I have dated a lot of cis women, for example, and have tried to deal with my insecurities around masculinity, around my body, with their bodies, which is super fucked up. And I'm totally aware of it. And I will not do the things that I did with when I was 20 or 25 with 34 or maybe last year. You know, it's like, so I think, I think we all evolve, we all change, we all have behaviors that are fucked up, and we either move on with them. We either move on from them or we don't. And I think that's the magic in it.
That growth.
That growth, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then picking people also who are willing to grow with you and who are willing to have that compassion for you and your history also a little bit. I think that's definitely. The... Like for me, I don't know how it was... I'm going to ask you also... this takes me to my other question. This works really well. I love it. I was going to ask you, when did you realize that something needed to change for you? Because for me personally, that was when someone came into my life that was very different than a lot of other people I've been with. And this person's name I can say was Senami. And hi, Senami. Like Senami has healed me in ways with their, you know, compassion and care and Capricorn steadiness and of being like, hey, I love you, but I don't accept bullshit and I don't want to be treated badly. And I will let you talk now. But I, for example, for me, they said at some point when I was like having my jealousy moments, they were like, Nevros, we need to sit down. They said, I love you, but I'm not going to take this. And if you continue like this, I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, what? And then they were like, either you trust me or you don't. Mm-hmm. They said, I have never lied to you. I will never lie to you. So either you trust me or you're not. And I was like, okay, I will trust you.
Yeah.
And they have never proven me wrong. And I think that has changed so much for me. And now it started a healing path for me a few years ago that I think, that was super necessary and that I'm super grateful for. Mm. And ever since I'm doing the work myself also. And I think that's, so what was your, what do you think has changed your way of thinking around this in terms of taking responsibility for your feelings?
Need to think about that a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it hasn't been like one specific thing or person. It's just been, it's been more of like internal journey. I think one big thing is that I feel that I have better boundaries than I did before.
Same. Yeah.
Because you know, a lot of my, you know, insecurity and like fear of the other person leaving me and doing things or like agreeing to situations or entanglements or whatever that I wouldn't necessarily, that I didn't necessarily need to agree to in those specific moments because I needed more time or I was depressed or I needed, you know, some moments to heal. I feel like I'm better about saying, hey, you know, this is not what I want. Or, hey, you know, I think I also tolerate less bullshit. Like I have a better filter, and trying to also again like reiterate what you said, just connect with people that are also willing to grow, which has also meant in the last few years like less connection.
Yes,
which has been good. It's been really positive. I don't want to connect. I don't desire to connect with as many people as I used to.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
It's not always the more the merrier.
No.
Letting go of expectations that were there before of yourself. Question mark.
Yeah, I mean, I think letting go of certain, like, I'm supposed to be cool with this or like you know, because I think again, like, bringing it back to, you know, like open relationships and you know, like this pressure on yourself to not be jealous and not allow yourself to feel jealousy. That has been the thing. I mean, it hasn't been the main thing, I think, but it's been definitely a part of it. And kind of pushing my own boundaries too much, like, you know, because of that or other reasons, like, you know, just, that's cool. I mean, also pushing my boundaries has helped me grow a lot. But...
Gently.
There's a limit.
And I definitely have went over the limit. Many times.
Yeah.
So kind of holding a space for oneself of, okay, I want to work along this jealousy route that I'm not feeling so insecure mm-hmm. in certain situations. So when I'm feeling jealous, what I tell myself is detach yourself from the person mm-hmm. or the thing that mm-hmm. has now triggered jealousy in me. Mm-hmm. It means I'm not feeling good about myself.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of this body. Mm. And it was so strong, the feeling, that I just thought, this is about you. Calm down. This is about you and your relationship to your body and how you're mm-hmm. feeling about it. And breathe. Detach it from the other person that has just triggered this. Detach it from the conversations you just had. Detach it from what you have just seen. Detach it from the body you've just seen. Detach it from even your own body and my own relationship as what is my body.
Mm-hmm.
It's about my relationship and about my feelings to myself. And then I reminded myself of times when I felt, which is for me most, has been a lot of the time, where I am feeling not jealous mm. or not insecure
mm-hmm.
To that extent, and to know, you see, and that was me in the same body, for example,
mm-hmm.
and not feeling so insecure. Having said that, I believe there's also, beneath every jealousy is desire, mm, and
totally,
I honor desires. My name is also Jezire, and I like it because mm-hmm. it has desire in it,
mm-hmm.
and I honor desire. I feel like life energy and love is desire. I will always honor desire. And within that feeling of desiring something for oneself is something that I honor and that we can honor also in itself, and that it's not about having to just accept everything that's there, but it's to celebrate also the wishes that we have, to celebrate the changes that we would like, mm. to celebrate what we want, to celebrate what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why jealousy for me is sometimes a bit sweet, because in that I can feel my desire for what I want. Yeah. And what I want, I also honor. So
yeah,
it can be a tricky yeah. kind of double-edged sword, what we do with it.
And it's interesting because it's actually just about you. If this is like, if the jealousy situation happens in like a healthy quote unquote frame, like not where someone is trying to make someone else jealous on purpose, yeah, or like mm-hmm. fucking with somebody's mm-hmm, head, yeah. or gaslighting or whatever mm-hmm. that people do. But I was talking to this to a friend actually yesterday in the U-Bahn. You know who you are. And we were talking about this also. And this friend also said, you know, and this was something I was also thinking about, how jealousy is connected to our own desire. Because if you don't see this person as desirable, you wouldn't feel the things that you feel. Mm. So my therapist has also said this to me, like, is it possible that you feel attracted to all the people that you've been jealous to? I was like, oh my God, shut up, what? You know, when you have these like aha moments, yeah. I was like, oh my God, totally. Yeah. They all yeah. are hot people. Yeah. You know, I would yeah. totally date yes. them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Do you feel that way also?
Mm.
That those are people that you identify as attractive in some kind of way?
Mm. I mean, I think that can be something, but yeah. I also think that I've definitely just been jealous because the person I'm seeing is attracted to them.
Yeah.
But I can see that also being a thing.
They're a threat.
They're a threat. Do you see exactly. them as a threat? I see them as a threat. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah. Why are you in my territory?
Threatening my happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jealousy can literally equal threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see this like alarm bell going.
Danger.
Why is nobody else seeing this?
Which is partly why I believe jealousy is sometimes okay, because mm-hmm. it is our intuition, it is our instinct telling us sometimes truths
mm-hmm. yeah.
that we need to deal with or want to deal with mm-hmm. ourselves, if we then do it nicely
yes.
or healthily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've grown up or have experienced relationships that have had lying involved, yeah. have had
violence,
abusive yeah. situations. You have got a particular relationship to trust yeah. and mm-hmm. to information, and the world around you and what is said about the world and what is not said about the world yeah. is two completely different things.
Yeah.
So when one person's sitting there going, I did this, that's just what's been said, yeah. first of all. And then there is the reality is not what gets said. But what you said about reminding when somebody, Sanami said to you, you either trust me or you don't trust me.
Yeah.
I find that very empowering because it's holding me accountable to not wallow and
yeah.
to mm-hmm. actually say, I can trust.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
there have been these experiences, but I believe you can trust and I yeah. expect it of you.
Yeah.
And I honor your insecurities and your traumas or where it came from, and I expect yeah. you to trust too, which is, can be just so healing, I feel, yeah. in those yeah. moments where a world can be full of alarm block and going mm-hmm. woo woo mm-hmm. so often, and we're trying to struggle to keep our lives safe,
yeah.
which often has meant asking questions and checking stuff out and seeing everything before it's been even
yeah.
said,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That also connects to the next question, because this episode, I think it's really clear that feelings of jealousy are connected to self-worth. And I think that's also a really, really difficult thing for people to talk about, because it really touches on who you essentially are and why you are the way, to put it a little bit more on a meta philosophical
mm-hmm.
thing of like who, like what you are made of. And I think for a lot of people, talking about jealousy is also really difficult, because it's exposing in a way of like, you basically show people, hey, I have insecurities, I don't feel good about myself sometimes, I don't like myself sometimes, yeah. I wonder why people love me, and sometimes mm-hmm. I don't believe that people love me, and that's why I fear that you would leave me, or that I'm not good enough for you to stay with me, or that I'm not Yeah, that I'm not yeah. good enough in that way. And just even mm-hmm. articulating this, I think sometimes makes people want to cry or break
yeah.
down. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of us, especially like queer and trans people of color, I think we struggle with these things a lot growing up in like white dominant societies. So I wonder, like, where do you see the connection between self-worth and jealousy? And I think now you also said having boundaries has mm-hmm. made a big difference. And I totally agree with that. But, like, what are the things you think, if you identify from, like, a either childish perspective or from your perspective today, what are the specific things that make you feel jealous? Like, what is it that you feel in that moment? Like, what exactly makes you feel jealous, or what made you feel jealous? How is that connected to your own sense of self-worth, and how have those things changed for you in your healing path? Those are like a lot of questions in one.
I think it's just like it's like a direct connection mm-hmm. between self-worth and jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I notice the intensity of jealousy, like when you get that feeling, you know, pit in your stomach
mm-hmm.
that just, you know, can't be filled. It's yeah. just like so intense, that intense mm-hmm. pain. Like definitely like that feeling has come, I've dealt with when I've been the most insecure and depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In my life, I think, or like in periods of like really intense depression, and then also in dealing then with someone who may not have known how to reassure me
mm-hmm.
in those moments, or feel like fearing the exposure
mm-hmm.
with them, so not really completely being honest with myself or
mm-hmm.
them necessarily
mm-hmm.
and so it comes out in this like really, you know, it comes out in this really like that those feelings mm-hmm. come out then are projected into the jealousy
mm-hmm. totally projections
yeah.
yes
projections
mm-hmm.
yeah
it makes me think of how there is a dynamic between the person mm-hmm. giving Uber mm-hmm. in front of oneself, across from oneself, mm-hmm. and the jealousy that's between the two of you. And I feel like there are moments where it has to do with the position of the other person. So, for example, if it's a white person mm-hmm. who we're in conversation about jealousy, about insecurities, that's a very tricky mm-hmm. situation mm-hmm. to be in, especially when it comes to talking about resources mm-hmm. or talking about bodies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Experiences.
And then there's a sensitivity around talking about jealousy as something childish.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes a patronizing
mm-hmm.
yeah.
dynamic mm-hmm. can occur in that. And I just think, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can be jealous of you having that house because you guys took mine for generations, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We cannot here talk about jealousy and childishness or anything yeah. that's to do with that, because I feel a right mm-hmm. also in me to want
mm-hmm.
to be jealous, to want, especially when there's a feeling that it's rightly yours. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like it gets spoken about then as something, well, you're jealous and mm-hmm. that's not so good. And, you know, you must develop out of this jealousy. Mm-hmm. And a part of me thinks, yes, I would like to have more empowering ways to deal with this situation right now, this feeling of lack of,
mm-hmm.
or this feeling of lack of self-worth, lack of resources, lack mm-hmm. of whatever it is, and never deny the fact that there has been a rightful trigger of it,
mm.
either between us or socially because of yeah. different positionings. And it's kind of like a tightrope sometimes to have those conversations, I feel, when there are different positions that people are positioned differently within society or within the relationship. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yes. Yeah.
I think for me it took a long time to understand that jealousy is a feeling and that it's connected to me and not the other person. Like, I would do shit like blame the other person for my jealousy because I didn't understand. I was like, it's because you did this and this, and because you what do you mean me? Like, you, because you, if you were different, I would be, you know. Yeah. But then at some point I was like, oh, wait a minute, this is really not working. And I think also for, I don't know, like, I don't want to bring like identity politics into it all the time, but I feel like also, I think what made it really hard for me to talk about jealousy for a long time also is because it's also in from a gender perspective and a gender of color perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you are in a more masculine body that I am in now, people totally forget that I used to look differently and that my experience is based on who I was, you know, like I'm 34 now, but more than half of my life I've spent in a very different body. And you mm-hmm. also know me from that mm-hmm. time. So I think it's also when I, in certain circles, when I admit that I'm jealous, I get these like, of course you're jealous because you're a macho and because, mm-hmm. and I'm like, fuck mm-hmm. you. No, it's because of how I grew up and because of where I come from. And yeah, like what all the resources and non-resources that have been given to me or not given to me, I'm the product of that and the society that I live in, and not because I'm living in this body since 10 years. That's mm-hmm. bullshit. So I feel like all of that bullshit gets also projected on me. And then when I would talk about jealousy in relationships, people would always assume that the women, for example, that I was dating were like, that I was always the problem and not them. Yeah. And I'm like, no, this is not how it works. I've met a lot of cis women who are fucking jealous, you know, but that in that case it's normal and cute. But when I say it, it's dangerous and it shouldn't be like that. And I think also, yeah, connecting to self-worth for sure. Like, the more my sense of who I am and who I want to be has changed, my relationship with jealousy has also changed, because I know who I am now and I know what I'm worth most of the time, not always. So I think that has, and also, what you said about boundaries, I think, is a really important point also of not agreeing to situations anymore that I'm not comfortable in.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Being in, like, how was that for you, like, in terms of monogamous relationships, open relationships? And I feel like I'm jealous no matter what constellation, it doesn't matter. But I think boundaries have made a big difference.
Yeah.
I think you said a few key words there also. Yeah, which is why when you said earlier, or when you feel someone's jealous, I don't know if that related to masculinities or not or whatever, I can imagine that, there is, when we, even if we look at, like, stories about lethal jealousies.
Fatal attraction.
Attractions. And so we are, in our mainstream culture and mainstream society and what's on TV, then you are often, most often, 99% of the time talking about cis masculinities.
Hell yeah.
And we carry that around with us in our bodies.
All of
in
us.
Our psyches.
But that gets projected onto.
And it's.
Trans bodies, and that's a problem.
Yeah,
it gets projected, and
I think then you have to talk about patriarchy, and you have to talk about that. You know, just I don't agree with this. I've heard this a lot, and I don't agree with this notion of that bodies trigger things. I think that's a quite not. I'm not saying that you are transphobic because you're trans yourself, but I think it is a heteronormative. Or in transphobic way of looking at trans bodies. And I think that's something that also trans women get a lot, you know, of like, you shouldn't go to this bathroom because, and you shouldn't do this because, and or to trans men in different ways, you shouldn't do this because. And I think the problem is that trans bodies get punished for something that cis men have been doing because of a patriarchal system that we all live in.
Yes.
For hundreds of years or thousands of years, I don't know how many years, and I think it's really important to distinguish, because in that case, most of the time trans people get erased as survivors, even though we are statistically the people who experience at least as much abuse and violence as cis women. Yeah, exactly. Because it's
especially trans women.
Especially trans women, you know. I think that's really, really important also to keep in mind. And, and when we talk about these things, and like, who, as you said, like, who can talk about jealousy, who can talk about abuse, who can talk about these things. I'm not saying that trans people can't be perpetrators. Of course they can. Of course we can. And of course we do. It's normal. Everybody can. But I think it's really important to talk about, like, systematic things that we all live in and that our bodies move in, and who gets to talk and who doesn't get to talk. I think that's really important also.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I think that's very important. I'm going to skip the question about oppression. That's boring. I feel like we kind of talked about this, you know, like, because you also talked about how it's about, like, dating white people and how jealousy plays out in that case. When they, for example, date other BIPOCs, that's complicated. If they only date white people, that's also complicated. You know, and then a lot of feelings.
It's, there's, like, a lot of complications.
There's a lot of complications. Like, how can you even deal with that?
Yeah.
If there's anything that you want to say to that, stressing me out.
Yeah.
Okay, I have two more questions and then we're good. So we've talked a lot about, we heard the word jealousy a lot, and you know, we kind of dissected in what it is, what, you know, where it comes from, what our relation to it is. I'm curious about how do you think, how you used to react when feeling jealous and how you react now. How has that changed? Like, you don't have to give me like a specific situation, but I'm curious how your behavior towards jealousy has changed. Like, how did you used to react and how do you react today mm-hmm. when you feel jealous? Question mark.
Did you even listen to the question?
I was literally just looking at the little notes that I put in. Okay. I was like, mind blank.
Yeah.
Literally.
Lost. Everyone. Yeah. I'm out. I can answer the questions if you need more time to think. I think what has changed for me, I feel like I'm talking a lot. So I think how I used to react, I think one of the things that I don't do anymore is blame the other person for my feelings. I think I used to get really heated really quickly. I would like not really listen. I would follow my so-called intuition, which is basically my trauma. Mm-hmm. I would feel very insecure. I would get very passive aggressive. Not paying attention, basically already starting to think mm-hmm. about what I'm going to say before while the person was talking, not trusting. Like principle, not trusting, and always assuming the worst, always assuming I'm being lied to, always assuming that the person wants to harm me in some kind of way, and this person can't love me, this is not right, and I am right. But now I think, now I know more about trauma, I know that most of the time when I feel something like this, it will be over within 30 minutes, I will calm down, I breathe, I remind myself who the person is and that the person is an honest person, that they don't lie to me, that they love me and that they care about me, assuming the best instead of the worst, trusting my relationship and my experience with this person so far. Basically filtering those feelings. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work, but most of the time it works. And reminding myself, and then also, I think one of you said this, realizing I'm not in a good place. I need happy hormones. Either I need to do some sports, I need to go out, I need to meet nice people, I need to talk about this. I'm an extrovert. Like, I deal with things by talking.
Yeah.
So I talk to my friends who know me for a long time, who don't judge me and who listen. Like, Sophia and I had like a billion conversations about this. Sometimes I'm like, hashtag team anxiety. Yes. I need help.
Yes.
Tell me something. And then we're really good at getting each other out of those things. Yes. But like for myself, it's really difficult. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think now it's more like a introspective. It's my issue. I need to deal with this. This person does not belong to me. They have their own life. They have their own feelings. It's not me. That I think is helping me.
I think I used to, I like that passive aggressive thing really stood out for me. I used to be very passive aggressive because I grew up in a family where people didn't know how to communicate. Like, you're either yelling or you're passive aggressive response. Yeah. There's not no middle. You never have a real conversation about your feelings or anything. Yeah, it's just that. And so I had to really, and I was never like a yeller. I wasn't a screamer. There were other people in my family that were screamers, and I was very passive aggressive. And so I think
that's all you had left.
It's just two things.
It's like just two options. So definitely, you know, learning how to communicate, and like, you know, even when I am fall into like, you know, regress into my passive aggressive behavior, just, you know, I like, you know, I try to catch it and, you know, and talk about it, and I try to, you know, and I want to be with people or communicate or have relationships, friendships, lovers with people that also want to communicate with me. Nice. And I realize the difference when I go back home and I'm in my family and I'm like, whoa, like, how did I survive this shit? You know, it's just, And then, but yeah, that's also, I've come also to terms a bit with that, and I try to, you know, I kind of just like accept it for what it is, because, yeah, because people are also, you know, stuck in their ways, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. But,
and you don't need to live there anymore.
I don't need to live there anymore. Exactly. I'm a visitor.
And you can come.
Exactly.
Sometimes exactly passive aggression. It's like the weapon of the trapped.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? When we're feeling trapped.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no other option. Yeah. I'm just going to do this passive aggression thing.
Yeah. I definitely think, like, just being able to talk about my feelings, which sounds pretty, I don't know, basic maybe in the circles that we're running in now, but it's like actually a real like big deal. It's,
of course.
You know? I think that's something that's really helped the jealousy, or just like being able to talk about, being able to like name it.
Yes.
Yeah. If the people in our circles actually talked about their feelings, I don't think it's simple at all. Then we would have much, much less problems, much less drama. Oh my fucking God.
And to be able to talk about them not with like GFK the whole time, like gewaltfreie Kommunikation. I just feel that is Gewalt in itself sometimes. Like, you just got angry.
Nonviolent communication.
You had feelings.
Yes. Ooh, jealousy is bad. Mm-hmm. Oh, you just said the bad word, jealousy.
Yeah.
You know? It's nice when you can just say, I feel jealous.
Fuck off.
I am feeling jealous. Yeah. I feel a lot of shame when I...
Exactly.
And that's where I'm like, okay, who am I going to express this to? You know? Who do I share this with?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Shame about feeling jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's so vulnerable. It's such a vulnerable moment, that feeling of...
It is.
And then not wanting to be passive aggressive, but actually saying, okay, breathe. Yeah. What is my need here?
Mm-hmm.
What do I want? What am I feeling? This is what I like. Sometimes I can just ring up and be like, oh, yeah, I'm feeling like this. I'm just going to tell you exactly how I'm feeling. And let it out. And then say, okay, we're not going to do passive aggressive because we have other options.
Yeah.
Do I have another option? If you really don't have another option, aggression is an option if one field doesn't have it. One can choose aggression in... a situation of self-defense, as survival, as whatever we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Often we realize that we have other options.
Yeah.
And that's our pattern.
Yeah.
And it's quite powerful, I find, that moment when you're saying to yourself, okay, I'm feeling jealous, I'm feeling shit. Okay, it's about me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have other options. I have power.
Yeah,
I have things within my own resources within me.
Options and powers.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
Detached from that other person or that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've been trying to do, basically. Like, kind of like you were saying, coaching, and trying to, like you were saying about the passive, to kind of.
Yeah.
Let me keep away from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And.
But I think also it's
aggression is sweet.
Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, I think like this thing about just like being able to call a friend also and be like, you know, like fuck this, like,
and also
can you believe that?
Yeah.
You know, it's important to have that.
Yes.
It's really important to have that, and I'm I feel really grateful to be able to do that. And not necessarily shed all unfiltered feelings onto, you know, whatever, whoever you're seeing at that point or whatever's happening.
It'd be nice if we had like one friend that can be like the jealousy, the jealousy drummer, you know, you know, like three missed calls.
Yeah.
You know, it's about the jealousy.
Yeah.
I like that. No, but I think it's also really important to know who you can call, because sometimes there are people who fuel what you feel.
Could you believe they all?
Yes.
No.
You're like, oh my God.
Facebook, right?
Yes. I'm going to find out the login information. Exactly. Yeah. I'll sit in the car with you. It's good to have writer guys.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think it's also good to have people who are like, you know, you're in that thing again.
Yeah.
Calm down. Let's go for, you know, a caprizone or let's go into the sun or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's super important also.
Yeah.
To have people to come.
Oh, I like that you go for a Capri Sun.
Yes, I just thought about.
It's like actually going for like a Capri Sun has been like a thing. Like the past couple of summers, like reminding me of my childhood.
Oh,
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Like, people know me with Capri Sun.
I was jealous of the kids that were allowed to have Capri Sun.
Oh, we always had the version from Aldi and from.
Yeah.
It was never Capri Sun.
Yeah.
I was also jealous of that.
Yeah. What about jealousy? When it feels good.
Mm.
What do you mean? That's a politically correct answer. What do you mean?
Like, I just do something and then I say to my person, "Are you jealous?" Hoping that they go, "Yes!"
But
and
like,
then they're like, "Nah."
Is that
and I'm like,
a role play?
Shit.
I was going to say, is that in a playful, kind of not serious way you mean?
But there is still a tinge of jealousy.
Yeah,
I wanted them to be a little bit like,
because you associate jealousy with being wanted and loved.
In that very, it's almost like salt on your food, if you like salt in your food, or a bit of chili. I like eating with chili pepper, everything, you know?
Yeah.
I like to see the sparkle in someone's eyes where I see that it's maybe there, but the person is so much in control of it and so safe for me.
Yes.
You know?
I love that. I know what you're talking about.
Yes, that's it.
That's
the one.
Like,
that's the
one.
That's the sweet
spot.
That's
sweet.
It's like you want me and you show me and I see that you're struggling within yourself, but you're such a good person and you're like so good. I'm like, let's have sex. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel that.
Where it doesn't turn into drama, where it's not on the table, where, you know, this person is actually not really, really jealous.
Mm-hmm.
But
Yeah.
That's who I aspire to be.
It's
a confirmation of their humanness. It's a confirmation of that one does not possess each other, but one belongs to each other because one wants to belong.
One wants to belong. Exactly. Yeah.
Of course we agree on this. Let us know what you think about this theory. Okay, my God.
Yeah.
I have one more question and you can also ask any more questions that you want. I don't care about the time. I would like to know, what would you advise your younger selves about jealousy, and what would you also advise, what would you tell other people who struggle with these topics, like... What has helped you? What has changed your mind? We know we heard it a little bit in this episode, but what would you say to your younger selves or to other people on how to work on jealousy?
I think one thing I would say is just tell my younger self that you are worthy.
Yeah.
That you are the shit.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that you are desirable.
Mm.
Yeah. I think those are some things I would tell myself.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That says it all.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. To breathe. To remember times when the situation was the same and one felt good.
Mm.
Mm. That helps.
Yeah.
Mantras. I am worthy.
Mm,
I am lovable.
Yes.
Yes.
Not even I'm lovable. I am love.
Yeah.
I am love. I am worth.
Yeah.
I am worthiness.
Yeah.
In itself, I am love in itself.
Yeah.
I am desire. Mm.
Yeah.
I am desire. And
this makes me want to cry.
Me too.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a serious therapy here.
Yeah, totally. I think I would tell myself to fucking relax.
Mm.
Relax.
Mm.
Calm down. It's all gonna be okay. You know, deal with your shit. Deal with who you are. Bleib bei dir. Und as you said, yeah, you're lovable, you're desirable, you are hot. Mm-hmm. And even if you weren't, it doesn't matter. And if some, yeah, if you, I don't know, feel what you feel, be okay with what you feel, take responsibility for what you feel, talk to people about it, and yeah, remember who you are. Or not remember, but yeah, like change it, or not, don't change, but readjust the way you see yourself and readjust your inner voices. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Of how you talk to yourself. Talk to yourself like you would talk to someone that you love, that you care about. That's something my therapist also said. I think that's really true. Like, reparent yourself, rewire your brain. It's possible. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah.
It's totally possible. Yeah. I think that's really important also. Yeah. I don't know how you feel. I'm sweating. I mean, it's also 30-something degrees, but we're in a backyard. But when we started this, I was like, I want to run away. This topic, I hate this topic.
Yeah.
And now I'm realizing I just took a shower before you came, but I'm like sweating
again. Yeah.
I could totally take a shower again.
It's good that about the sun here now.
There's like literally no sun here.
There's a little bit there. Like, yeah, like a tiny corner.
I know. That's where I sit sometimes. It's kind of weird. Yeah.
Aww.
You feeling good?
Everything. Yeah.
Thank you for talking to me about this. I know this was like deeply personal, but that's what I love. I hate superficial talks.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for doing this.
I had so much fun. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Me too.
Yeah.
I also had a lot of fun. Thank you so much. So, the song that we just listened to, and also the song that you listened to in the beginning of the podcast, is called Cobra, which is a tale of a post-apocalyptic mermaid trapped in desire, which sounds really interesting to me. The video was shot in Natal, Brazil, with some of the queer characters of the local scene, drag performers, and public figures of the city, with whom the artist Sunny Est has built a collaborative relationship during her Brazilian tours over the past few years. Sunny herself is an artist, a curator, trans feminist speaker based in Berlin with roots in northeastern Brazil. She's making use of different media, autobiographical narratives that range from filmmaking on queer BIPOC subjects from different parts of the world, singing and songwriting, acting, writing and speaking, while using her trans brown body as a performative tool of expression to provoke the viewer and confront them with their colonial perceptions of gender performativity, which is a difficult word to pronounce. I really like her music. I really like her as a person. She also has some important Aries placements, I think, which is relevant. Listen to her music. I'm going to link also the video, which is really, really, really fucking amazing. Please support local queer and trans BIPOC artists.